Schools Board of Education Special Workshop. Today is March 11th, 2024. The time is 5:30 PM. Could we have roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that brings us to discussionary items. Superintendent Cho.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate this time together tonight. So we're going to get going right here with our very first item, which is a fuel dispenser purchase. So we have Patty and Tim from Fenmore. And so if you guys want to just step up and share what's going on, because I know this is in the board's packet.
Yes. So we had our state inspection, and we are not in compliance with a few items, and one of them has to deal with the fuel dispensers. They are old, and the totalizers don't turn anymore, which means we're not able to provide an inventory report to the state. So in order to fix that, we need to replace the dispensers.
Dispensers being the pumps?
Correct. Okay. Nothing's wrong with the tanks, just the actual fuel pumps themselves.
Oh, the cheap part.
The cheap part. So.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. God, I believe you got more right there, right?
It's okay. I don't know what questions you guys have or what you need to know about it, so. So we did put an RFP out. We got three bids. Oscar Larson is our recommendation. They were the lowest bid. Plus, they've been the service company that has helped us keep these tanks running all these years. So a service provider? We're not under contract with them. We've used them since 2012 that I'm aware of in the state.
Oh, I thought there was a contract done in 23. I thought that was part of our
contract. Not that I'm aware of. There's no service contract. We have Arch Environmental, which is responsible for providing us quarterly inspections to make sure we're in compliance with the state.
So there's not a master service agreement with Oscar dated December 5th, 2023?
If there is, I'm not aware of it. Do you know anything?
What materials are you using? Was that in our last one or last week's?
I thought it was in this last one. And so the reason I asked you the question was is because there was a date on there from 2023. So that's why I was like, oh, so what was that about? Was that associated with this? Was that something else?
I think it happened in 2023.
We started this in November
yeah.
of 2023. Right. And they have done service work for us.
Because the LARA was 11/20 of
correct.
2023, which right. then seems like it precipitated a master service agreement with Oscar December 5th of 2023. So I was looking, is there a correlation between those because of the way the dates fall? And if you get a LARA report that says you have to fix something right now, you got to find someone right now, that would make sense why there would be such a short time frame before signing the master agreement.
Well, you got it in your board briefs last week.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's in there.
It's in there, but that one was the first time that I
So, okay, I'm going to refer to it right here. All dispensers must be replaced in order to meet the requirements that were found to be out of compliance on the state inspection that took place on 11/20/23. It was in the last week's board briefs.
Oh,
it'd be page 8.
Are you reading the LAR report or are you reading the master agreement?
I'm reading what.
But I sent all the stuff.
Okay.
So you had everything in December.
RFP was sent out in January.
Yeah, and so then what I gave you on this past week was what we were gonna bring to the board tonight.
Right, that's why I put it in my notes to ask the question about the agreement, the master agreement that was included in the packet. That's what precipitated it. Like, had I not read that, I wouldn't ask the question because of the timeframe. You got November, Laura, December, the master agreement, January, RFP. And so I was like, okay, what is the progression here? If we're now just recommending Oscar, what was the December master agreement that was concluded? Did no one else say that?
There's no master agreement unless it's a copy of the.
Well, you might read it.
We haven't.
That's your handwriting.
We haven't approved a contract. That's what I'm trying to find. Okay.
I did the whole packet that Patty submitted because I wanted.
Okay, so that's actually in, not in board briefs, it's actually in for their packet for the board meeting.
Oh,
okay. That makes more sense.
Okay.
I said I didn't write down where I found it.
She's like, I just knew I found it.
Yeah.
So we had the Laura report. We had a few violations, which we've gotten everything completed except being in compliance with the inventory daily report that we need to provide them. And that has to do with the numbers turning on the pumps, which are seized up and unrepairable. So in order for us to get in compliance, we have to replace the dispensers that have numbers that move.
And that's been the same way for how long, Patty?
So I did some research. So Arch Environmental, which is our quarterly inspection, they took over in 2012. It started being noted in 2017, flagged, that we were not in compliance.
But we had the same inspector, and we think that he let it go because.
And this year we have a brand new inspector.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And a new bus inspector we're going through right now, too. So we're double whammied on it.
They've been moving us along, telling us that, and it's not even just what Patty's talking about today, but like, you know, eventually these units, and you're not going to get covers, and you're going to wear out where you can't, so you guys need to, well, this was kind of okay. We can't get carried along anymore.
Yeah, so
are those pumps?
It's right here. We cannot find a date on the pumps. The underground.
I wonder if those were the ones that were still here when I was here, because I used to work on those.
So the underground tanks were put in 1984. We cannot find a date of record of when the dispensers were entered.
That was my other question about the tanks, because in this master service agreement, it talks about the disposable of any contaminated stuff and how it's supposed to be. And I was like, so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if we're not replacing the tanks, and you're only replacing the dispensers,
right?
Why is there a service agreement about what to do with environmental waste? So do you see how my brain just goes, like, what are all these things happening, and why are all these things included if that's not?
So when we remove the dispensers, there's still going to be fuel inside them.
So when they're referring to right here, their master service agreement is their materials for the quote of $45,985. And so this master service agreement is just that.
What's it dated?
It's a proposal December 5th.
December 5th, 2023. Right.
Right. But that's when the RFP went out.
So it still relies my question, the master agreement, what was it about?
But this isn't a master agreement.
What's it say at the top of it?
It will
they
be a master agreement
to
if it's approved.
As their master service agreement, but it's nothing with us.
Yeah.
It
does
say
master service agreement.
It's part of their proposal for when they go, if the board was to approve them as a provider to do this work. It's not only their documents that they provide right here with the quote.
So this would be the contract agreement that we would be signing on with them with.
To do the $45,985 for that project.
Right.
Yeah, there's no term.
And they
no
would provide the training, take care of the warranty work, all that stuff.
It would make sense to read it, I would think, which I did. And so it led me to the question as to why they're calling themselves a response activity contract as a response activity contractor. I just didn't understand that.
Well,
and so, you know, for me, simplistic things. You're putting in these new units, I get it. And then I see this agreement, I buzz through the agreement and start talking about contaminated stuff and it start talking about this. And I'm like, so what are we actually referring to?
If you lose more than a quart of gasoline, you're supposed to report it to the EPA. So that's what this company, they're gonna make sure anything that's still inside that pump, if it gets spilled, they're gonna clean everything up and we will be compliant with the EPA.
And that's what this is referring to.
Yes.
See how easy that was? Thank you, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you remove the stuff, like any, you know, it's going to have fuel in the hose. It's gonna have fuel down below it. So they have to retrofit all the existing for the new equipment on the old pipes.
Yeah, they're a current vendor for sure, but nothing that we have a contract that I would have any insight to. They would like one for sure.
Yeah, sometimes I just need a little clarification as to what we're looking at, what is the reason.
So the reason why we're having to present tonight, like I said, there's gonna be some months where we can provide that 2-week gap. This is a timing part right here, so that's why they're presenting tonight, and it's up for on the docket for tomorrow night, rather than holding back 2 weeks for that recommendation. I shared before, there's gonna be times where that happens, but when we can provide the 2 weeks, we will, but this will be one of those situations where these materials are here, and with Laura, I know that the inspector is looking forward to knowing when the board approved it, and so that way they know when the work's gonna get happen, which the work won't happen until the summer, but at least they know that it's been approved and is scheduled to be done.
Is that what they're expecting? They give a deadline date for the reporting of when that will be accomplished?
That's what you mean, what the inspector's looking for?
Yeah.
Yes.
Specifically, they'll do that.
So
they'll
we
like, give us a date for when you're gonna have this set up mm-hmm. and who you're gonna use.
And Oscar Larson, not only will we be able to communicate that through Arch Environmental directly with our state inspector, Oscar Larson will also contact and let them know if they were awarded the bid and when the work is planned to be scheduled.
And that will clear them.
Yes, and then we would get an extension.
For the summer, right?
Yeah.
We were pleased that it was Oscar, too, because while they had the best number, which really worked in our favor, they've by far been the most standout of the three that we've dealt with this in my 12 years here. So it was nice that they came in. They have a really good support team. And they're the ones, if you pay attention now when you're going by and you see them at a gas station and you go somewhere, you'll see Oscar trucks like 3-1. So I was really glad for Patty and that, you know, in our process that it came in the way it did, because it would have been hard even if they were. And all these bids for $45,000, we bid things that are $15,000 and we get bids up to $45,000. You know, this one was really tight race, which was great that they're all on the same page and about mm-hmm. that same thing, so you know somebody's looking at it the same way. But even I think it would have been hard not to make the recommendation about Oscar had they even been the one on that was a couple grand higher, just because of the size and nature of them.
And we also involve Arch Environmental, who we pay, who works across the state with companies in our decision as well. And so out of the three, they recommended Oscar.
I see that the first year of maintenance is included, and after that it's $900 a year.
I would have to read back
to
myself.
Are we proposing to give them a 2 or 3 year contract for the maintenance or the management?
Yeah, for the first year it's covered, and then after that you could do a service fee of $900 to maintain it. It definitely is. If this gets approved for them, then we would want to look at entering into a service contract with them for that. That's quite cheap to do.
That's something we would address later. After
yes.
Yeah. What do they do on the second, third year? What do they?
If we don't enter in a service contract, they'll continue servicing it like we do now. We call around and we get somebody to come out and do the work, and that's what they give us a quote for, and that's what they bill us for. So.
Give $900. Anything that goes wrong, they fix it.
I would have to find out what scope. I'm sure there's a limited scope on that because they're a company and want to make some money too. But probably general testing and maintenance, they would probably handle for us.
And charge you for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Like legally, we can't even change a hose fitting. You know what I mean? We have to have them. You know, so. And we can dig into that deeper to see, because what that could encompass is how well they're taking care of or what could potentially go on. But, you know, I've not got into that. We typically don't like, and we know that, you know, to sign 2 and 3 years. But that might be that special number like Patty's suggesting, because if we went with them, that we really would want to consider that. You know, being brand new pumps, we have no history.
This is brand new.
Not that we get to work on them anyways, but. We may appreciate that service being intact.
Because everything on the pumps has years. Like the hose has an expiration year. The handle for pumping has an expiration year. The swivel part has an expiration year. So all those parts have to continually be replaced.
Are these pumps on like a fuel spill containment
pad? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, they would, they're not, we're not adding any concrete. They literally would take the old machines dispensers out, put the new ones in. We're not going high tech. They're going back to manual. Because if you go into digital, you got to have heating pads for the digital components to make sure they don't freeze and all kinds of other issues.
I thought it was a call-based system.
Call-based?
Jamie has asked us to make sure we use our mics. She's trying to record all this.
I totally forgot. We now have to push these buttons.
So the cloud-based system is for the fuel management side of it. So right now, there's a tower they have to go in and they have to push in a code. And the computer system is DOS that we enter them in. So what this will move to is cloud-based, so we won't have to maintain a computer on site. And they'll be able to swipe to get fuel.
Yeah, it looked like it would be more efficient.
Yeah. It's DOS. It's difficult.
But it worked.
It worked.
Yes, it worked. But definitely this would take us up into having less issues.
So then, Patty, you're going to check on what's included in the maintenance?
Yeah, definitely. We can bring that back around to you guys.
So with that right there, with the service contracts, we're actually going back through and always looking at which ones do we have, which ones do we need to keep. And so next April-ish, because that we'll have that whole next year, because we'll have to be looking at July 1 of 25, we'll figure out, okay, is this something that on this one, what other service contracts do we have out there that are needed? And especially as we uncover all that's going to happen right here, hopefully it's a simple project.
We're hoping.
It's
I know.
Why not?
You guys are welcome to come out to Fenmore.
I'd like to.
We still have buildings to tour too.
I haven't seen the remodeling part.
Right?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a day or two.
Come see us anytime.
Yeah, we should set up a tour there and what the other schools we have.
That was in conjunction with Custer's.
Yeah. Love to show you guys the inside, how it's all nice and bright. And people don't go home now. They stay all day in the back, so. No.
All right.
Well, are you good?
Thank you, too. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks.
Yep. Patty gets to scoot. Tim gets to stay. So next up, we're going to have Mark Kohler go ahead and start. We're going to go over the sinking fund report. That is your heavier document right here in your packet, which we also emailed out to all of you either Thursday or Friday. So, yes. Yep, I'm mine off at work. Yep.
What are you talking about, all this?
This document right here. So we're going to look at that one first. It shows Kohler's name at the bottom. So, Mark, you're up to bat.
Yeah, thank you. So this was a list that we put together based on a request from administration to walk around buildings and sites throughout the district and look at deficiencies, look at conditions. We looked at everything from parking lots, concrete walks, storm sanitary systems, what we could visually see. Took pictures of outside of buildings, masonry, walked roofs, walked through the buildings, and noted conditions, and put a list of deficiencies together. Reviewed these with administration, and went through, modified them to include priorities. So you'll see listed priorities 1 through 3. And in general terms, I know we didn't give you a description of the priorities with that list, but the lists are the priorities are basically priority number one items are items really that were required to prevent buildings from being shut down. They're the most critical ones, right? So they would be the ones also that would make sure that mechanical systems were in good operating condition, making sure that the building interiors were dry from the outdoors, and included any items that were designated as safety or security concerns. priority number two items were really items that were more preventative in nature. So these were items that could, if maintained and taken care of now, could save the district future costs, including such things like the roofs that are starting to come out of warranty. Also, they were included items that were could possibly be handicap, ADA, accessibility issues. And then priority three items were pretty much a combination of one and two items, but not to the same extent. So they were to a lesser degree. The first sheet that you guys see there lists the priorities for each building. We have all the buildings throughout the district. And in the columns, there's one, two, and three priorities with priority totals. And then we also listed some recommended, our recommendations for the items to be taken care of. And really recommended items, really, we were only able to really look at priority number one items at this time due to the amount of items that we had on the list. Mr. Shaw, would you like to go through each one of these and read through them?
Go through each page right there so you can kind of get a feel for it. So that way you can, when Mark was talking about, you know, we walked every building, they took pictures, there's times that walk was with Dave, Tim, and myself. At times, Mark and Vicky would come back, take some other, say, more pictures, do some more, figuring out more items that could be associated. But we wanted to really go through each building area and say, okay, what is the need here? And so we wanted to just, we're going to walk you right down through so you get a feel. Okay, well, hey, I can see that, you know, for example, at, here at this building, we have, we put in there part of that bond mass notification. And so when we talked about, and you're going to see in the bond report, mass notification, right? And all the buildings, part of the mass notification is the PA system. That's an integral part because the PA is a very sophisticated system compared to what PAs used to be. Okay, PAs used to be just per building. But this one's been designed where it can actually go to all buildings. So you can, how important is if we're, this building be a part of all that. So you go down through there and in that very the IT room. So we have an IT room right there. And that one, if we have an issue happen where that room starts to heat up, Dave, what's going to happen if that room heats up?
Dave's going to leave for the day. No.
Kevin's going to cry.
The cooling is extremely important for that room. Yep. So because it runs the district. It runs a lot of things.
So basically, your servers are going to overheat and shut themselves down. Yep. Going to self-protection mode.
100%.
Yep.
On that bond, the mass notification. On that bond notification system, I remember back when we were talking about installing the new PA systems, and I don't remember that was it Red Letter, or I'm not sure who was doing it. It was a discussion we had. And in that discussion, the part of it was the updating of the notification PA systems within the schools. And I know Monrovia Middle School was one that we, some reason, talked about singly or separately. So what we're talking about here is an addition to that, or is that portions of that, or what? And I also noticed that there are now speakers in the bathrooms. Is that part of this, too? Because I'm trying to understand that.
Well, so during the bond, Bid Pack 2, we did several schools, elementary buildings. Bid Pack 3 was a high school in Custer. This year, we're in the process of the middle school, which was approved by the board. That's the PA system. These systems have the capability of mass notification. That would be like second phase of the project. But what Andy's referring to is we never included the Knabush Center, Fenmore, the administration building, to have that base level PA system like the other buildings got. So until we get those building included, there's pieces missing still before you get to the mass notification.
So, like, yeah. I'm looking here, Custer 2 doesn't have it, Manor doesn't have it.
No building has mass notification yet.
So this is something new?
Yes. The PA system gives the underlying foundation for that.
So
But mass notification is a broad term that can include a lot of different things. So it could be something as simple as you push this button, doors lock. It could be you push this button, the 911's communicated. I mean, there's a million things you could program to do, but having that underlying foundation was important. And we just haven't finished that here at the Ad Building in Fenmore.
So is there any way, as this is being included in the packet, it doesn't sound like it's a construction thing. Is that something we can get information on like we did before and understand what that is and what we're putting in? Because, you know, I had a lot of concerns back then regarding that, and I was very vocal about that. And so I just want to make sure that wherever we're putting in is something that we understand what we're putting in and why we're putting it in.
And, yeah, moving forward, you know, we've asked Kohler and Kleinfelder to get information on the mass notification, some basic costs. And then we would come back, and part of that would be the direction that the board and Mr. Shaw wants to go with mass notification, because it's so different. I mean, you could say we have mass notification now with the PA system. It just, what level do you want and what automation do you want added to
it? You just made my point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but we haven't got to phase two yet. This is budgeting that we need to get to that point.
Is that what you're talking about when you're talking about speakers in the bathrooms at the middle school?
Speakers are in all bathrooms if they've had a PA system.
Yep. So you can hear in the bathrooms?
If there's a problem, if there's a principal announcement or a lockdown, students need to hear it no matter where they're at in the building.
It only goes one way in.
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. It's a speaker.
When I read that, I'm like, what are we talking about?
So the classrooms have been equipped so that you can go and push a button and communicate to the office. Hallways, bathrooms, no, it's just make so they can hear what's being said. So, for example, again, the reason they're in bathrooms is, yes, they have put that building into a lockdown, and they're in that bad situation. It's a straight communication. Yeah. So for the purpose of tonight, we're going to get into, you'll see how we get into the bond stuff right there. It'll be full communication on, like, things that are going to need to get finished. But I just was showing you as an example, and mass communication, that's a part of the OC, actually, the bond documents, too, on what's happening there. So more to come.
You brought that one. If not, if you brought up sidewalks, I wouldn't have said a word. Like asphalt, I wouldn't have said a word.
Yeah. Well, more to come on all that. Lots more to come on all that. So go ahead, if you want to just kind of just do so you guys can all read. I mean, our board can, you know, you're kind of looking down through. Is there any questions on, when you're looking at that, at the administrative building, like, hey, that's interesting. You see that when it comes to number ones, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 number ones on there. And, you know, I think in terms of, you know, when we really, what we have to always understand is what's the purpose of the sinking fund, what's the purpose of a bond, what's the purpose of a general fund? You know, how far can that go? And so, again, I commend this school district for all of its years of having a sinking fund, because with that we have beautiful roofs, and it didn't come on a bond. It was just something that this district's take care of. Great parking lots and other mechanisms, and, you know, and it's there when we have big boiler issues or have other issues that would have had normally come out of the general fund too. So
I do have one question.
Yeah.
What is miscellaneous, and how much asbestos can be left in this building? There can't be much.
Yes, there is.
Still a ton? Because we've been at this for 20 years.
Most districts in the state have been after 20 years. They're still working.
Because I know we started with the floors. Then we did the boiler room.
Still a good section. If you go right into the Sodexo area right there, Larry, it's tiled to 9-inch. That's all asbestos.
That's all asbestos tile still. Okay. That was just my only question.
Wow.
And that come up with Arbor.
It did. I didn't see that here.
Pardon?
I didn't see that mentioned here with the asbestos school.
In what school?
Yeah. So,
what it was, I know.
So when it comes to asbestos abatement, I'm going to make sure that Tim will speak a little bit about this, and also Dave and Mark, is there's nothing right at this point in time that we need to go and address, because we don't have ceilings falling down, you don't have cracks in your floors, you don't have... There's no reason, because it's not disturbed. And so there's not a reason for us to put on there going, okay, we're going to start attacking that, because then you're just opening up even a, you know, that next bigger can. But to that being said, Tim, just 12 years with us, how many different times over the last 12 years have you been called to, okay, get DMB in here, D&D, to do some abatement because of a ceiling malfunction or
a floor or something else been, or when it comes to abatement?
Only like if, you know, we replace carpets and then we find that carpet was put over some tile, small scale stuff. Certainly every project this year, the boilers at the high school.
Yep.
1974. Do they have some of that product in there? More than likely. Will we know? Yep. After we take it down for the season, and then we've got that set up to, you know, take the boilers one at a time, keep one going, let them, they're both the same. So what we find on the one, we'll know what the plan of attack is for both. But, you know, until we get in, we've never really had any, like, shutdowns or long times for in my time here, but there's always sections and small pieces and facets we're running into, and then, you know, we have to make sure. We do know that there'll be some small amount of piping at the high school coming out to the boiler house in the tunnel, some overhead. Not vast amounts for the size of the project at all, but yeah, we got a long ways to go. Arborwood South, I think, Darla, is what you're talking about. All those ceilings in there are not to be disturbed, and while they're all very solid, you know, when
you don't touch it and you don't open it,
correct,
you're pretty much okay, right?
But they're on the list here, so we know we're going to get to it.
Yeah, and we're not.
I know the conversation at Arborwood was extensive on it.
Yeah. So that way, you know, if something started getting to be a little bit compromised, that's why it's on the list and where it's labeled right now, because we're well aware of it's there. It's just, okay, what would you put in front of that or behind that? You know, and if something big shook the world over there and it changed that condition, then it would have to move up the list for sure. But yeah.
My only questions and concerns have been abated.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Carry on.
You know, I do have one question, Mark. You know, like.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Sure.
My question was that, you know, we have, like, replaced multi-zone air handler HVAC in the administration building. It has $1 million, then it says it's going to have further study. I guess what I'm thinking of is that we have, I don't know, maybe $5 million in our sinking fund, and it looks like we can accomplish even maybe a third of level one. So I guess, is there any way you can give us a further breakdown? Say, hey, look, guys, you really need to do this part of the HVAC. This part, maybe we can do it next year or something like that. Is there any way we can do that? Because at some point this year, we're going to have to make some kind of.
Yeah, that would be the next step in the study, really do more of a schematic design. We have three or four different options that we would consider. The most expensive being about $1 million, and the least expensive being about $800,000. But they all kind of have pros and cons, you know, to maintenance, to length of life, to energy costs, to disruption of the building, and be, you know, phasing kind of the work that needs to be done. So it really needs to be studied further to get to that point, to decide which is the best route for the district.
Is that air handler across from his office the one we're talking about?
It is. That's that air handler that's in that little room, and there's no.
Yeah, it was put in there when Custer was here.
Yeah, the bearing, you can hear it oftentimes squealing.
Oh yeah,
you can hear maintenance has done a great job keeping that thing running, but it's on borrowed time.
I'm shocked that's not a number one priority. Really.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is a one priority. That's
is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a note too. All right.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that thing goes down. You guys.
And that's the Larry you actually alluded to is we begin to really look at all the different projects as over these different buildings is which one needs to be at a higher level. So, for example, we start to think about this building and how long can we go and say, okay, this HVAC is going to need to get addressed. It goes down, and this is a 24. You know, this building's used all year long. Now we're into relocating employees and all that. But at the same moment in time, we also have to be looking at what's our the other big projects that have to happen. And, you know, we really, and so that's being weighed. So as we kind of work through this, I think you'll start to see, what kind of recommendations could be coming to you right there. And then two is, and this is, again, I go back to, you know, what one of the philosophies that this district's had is to try and keep about $2 million in sinking fund, you know, for the year. So there's always that carryover, so that way you're never putting the general fund at risk of having to do, you know, for example, the $2 million, and all of a sudden this building goes down, we've got to go to fixing it, the money's there. So I commend the district on that. So I think as we start to go through and you start to look at it, then we can start to figure out, okay, and that's why our, Mark did a beautiful job of already kind of laying out, like in 24, 25, 26, you're like, what things could we begin to look at? And that was what was on that front page right there. But you can see how it can add up very quickly. And as Mr. Warner reminded me this morning, it doesn't take long in a school district to spend $1 million. And all of a sudden, you're in for $1.5 million, too. So.
Are you still up for questions?
Yeah.
I have a few here.
Sure.
There is the domestic water piping replacement at several schools. One at Custer One isn't set until 2026. So we just had a water discussion at Monroe Middle School, and then we just had a sewage discussion. I know water and sewage are not related in that regard, but why and what? Like, what are we talking about when we talk about this? And if is it a importance, or is why not till 26?
the timing of it, I can't exactly tell you other than we have a lot of work already planned or recommended for 2025. And so we were pushing it off because there wasn't enough, there wouldn't be enough funds to do it.
So we don't have a domestic drinking water problem at the said schools that this is designed to address?
No, what you have, the problem you have there is you have aged pipes that eventually are going to start causing a lot of problems and could potentially shut down the school.
Well, that's, again, to the Monroe Middle School situation we just had. And so when this popped up, I was like, okay, you know, alarm bells started going off and saying, yeah. Is this a problem that needs to be addressed a little sooner based on this information?
Yeah, I think the middle school is another one that we're concerned about. And it's actually the sanitary, the internal sanitary and the domestic water.
Yeah.
And all that piping's all buried. It's tough to get to.
So I'm thinking that's like a big priority,
but
you know, when we're looking at, I mean, we always talk about safety, and there's a lot of avenues. I mean, we got entry doors, and we got all these other security things. But I think water and sewage are supers.
So Tim, you want to take a second and talk about the process that we have for our drinkable water?
Yeah, so we get weekly reports from every building that they do water flushes. I think everybody recalls when the Flint water crisis happened, right? It's like everything, we're very reactionary to that stuff. We then implemented that it would be daily flushings from night and custodial staff. It's everybody's job. They fill out a sheet every single week and they send it in. What the protocols are for there is all potable, depending on how you pronounce it, but that's all drinking sources. So, you know, while we would have restrooms and toilets and custodial closets and all those given areas, outside spigots and all that, right, anywhere you could run a hose from, that our water sources, they're not intended, you know, to be drinking sources. So, you know, if somebody, their only concern would be is if they're filling a coffee pot or, you know, something from, because a staff lounge or a room is close from a restroom. But
your hands are a conductor of bacteria when you wash them. So
sure.
Whether you put it in your mouth or you absorb it through your skin, you can still absorb contaminants in both ways.
Well, what we have in there, you know, Darla, is it really, and we worked really closely, and we've got some stuff we could probably go back and dig up with City of Monroe and stuff. We were going through everything. They were upgrading all the meters, doing all the quality testing. It was very extensive that, like, every drinking fountain that had old holding tanks and stuff that had any lead-based items and all that stuff was removed and replaced, and the water is of a quality where now we're just keeping it at all the drinking sources. So middle school is a great one. Like, so middle school, in the recent event that we had there, Friday, something got broke, whatever section of water had to go down. They fully go. They never take down any water without going directly to that building administrator. Reporting the process, we're going to be down. Hopefully it's a short amount of time. They go back then and immediately flush those areas. What happened there is that not only did we have a weekend following it, but say like Gail's restrooms and those type of things, you know, my male plumbers went around, they did what we could, and then we likely didn't hit some of the bathrooms, which aren't really priorities for flushing, but the fact that that happened, water was down, then they set over a long week, and then they turn them on, and we saw some, you know, some spots like that. So we don't like to see brown, we don't like to see rust at all, but the high concentration in those that you see when we see brown is rust.
iron, you know, so, you know, we don't like to see it either, but we do have a pretty solid protocol of day and night and hitting these things, and many of them actually go overboard because I see them outside running their outside faucets. What are you doing? Well, you know, it's water, it's coming through. Well, it does, you know, so, you know, we don't discourage at all, but the priority focus is always the potable sources, you know, and sometimes just the right storm occurs where, okay, we hit everything we could, and then you take a building like the middle school and it's got to sit over a long weekend or whatever, and then, you know, we're bound to see some spots like that show up. But the drinking fountains and the kitchen sinks, you know, even the teachers' lounges, you know, that all that stuff is really focused on where they draw in water for to consume. So all our bottle fill stations are always top priorities with filters and flushing in that regard. So, and that's across the board, every building. We even have the custodians flush here, you know, so.
So what we're talking about in this proposal is unrelated to any safety concerns of current drinking water or drinking water routine now in 2026 when one of them is proposed to do. We don't have any safety concerns, correct?
I would never say that there's never any concerns. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, we would all be silly if we said that. But yeah, I meant as of what you have right now, the suggestions in this proposal are for not just because we have a problem or we
right they're yeah. just to keep to prevent a possible problem. We know because the pipes are rusting and they go to get repaired, oftentimes they're very difficult to repair, or the repair becomes much more extensive to repair those areas. There's a lot of areas where we can't see, and so the concern is what's the condition in those areas. We know that they're also going to fail eventually.
But never at no point in our water system, we've never had bacteria in it, correct? I mean, we may have some rust, we may have some discoloration.
I've never had anything in that reporter. They even stopped us. I didn't think so.
Yeah, but this came up, the first thing in my head is, okay, do we have a problem? Do we think there's going to be a problem? Do we have, you know, a thing? So that was my reason, because we're moving it up and we have a $400,000 sensory room that seems to be a priority, and I look at stuff like that, and I say, okay, you know, if the drinking water is a problem, and we're talking about time resources, and we're talking about allocation of funds, I look at those things and say, why is one more priority than another? And though, sorry, that's just the way my brain works, so I ask the question.
That's an awesome question. So I think with any assembled group, and that's why it's important to bring it to you guys, because you know, that's what we do got to decide. This is the way that it was through, you know, through Mark's team and our teams and what we said, and for people that are in kind of the low places of these outfits, you know, that's the collaboration piece of what are we seeing and what do you do. Certainly all of our kids, you know, are employed and work here, and we drink the same water.
Right.
We absolutely have the same concerns, and it's just like which road do you go down first, you know?
Yeah. You were talking about prioritizing, and Larry had talked about prioritizing, so something like that to me, if you said you were doing it in my house, I'd be like, do it tomorrow. Don't wait a year, you know?
So I think what we need to look at those, think about Arborwood South, that's our big building. And on there it has $210,000 for domestic water piping replacement. I think, Mark, you need to describe what that begins to look like, because if that's, you know, $210,000, that doesn't go far, gang.
That's not very far in plumbing.
Okay.
No.
So I think we need to as we're talking, I think, Mark, bring clarity. So when we talk about, you know.
That's not until 26.
No, but I think we need to understand what this entails, because it's like my mind, I'm going, okay, so we're replacing all plumbing from the road into the building to the drink fountain, from the road, you know, into the faucets, into. You see, that'd be what I'm thinking, but
I think we should move it up to 24.
No, I want clarity on what it means.
So, like,
because
for that one there.
It might be just pipes in the from the road in. It might be just pipes underneath the tunnel. It might
that
be
one
just,
there is just for the tunnel at Arborwood South.
When you say tunnel, what do you mean by that, Mark?
Well, there's a system of tunnels underneath the building. And so the work would be limited to just replacing the water domestic water lines that are in the tunnel, the ones that are easily accessible. Otherwise, it's difficult to get up inside some of those walls and chases. And
is that the lead from the main into the building, or is that?
It would be. It would be. Yeah.
Oh,
From the main.
What's that?
Into the tunnels.
Into the tunnels.
Yeah.
So yep.
From the main itself of the water.
Yeah.
We've replaced, I know, because of Flint, obviously, lead is a big concern, but I'm assuming we replaced everything in the buildings that potentially would have contained lead. The leads from the main to the buildings.
Yeah, that's a hazardous material question and probably outside of my scope and expertise, it would have to go back to somebody like DMD, environmental.
Right. Well, I can tell you when all that went down, that was the key, is every drinking fountain, every potable source. Didn't matter if it was just a porcelain wall hanger, if it was a refrigerated one. You know, the porcelain ones you found a lot less with because you just were running water through them, right? You're not cooling them. But the ones that are the chilled units that sat there and they actually have tanks that hold that water. That's where it became more crucial, and that's why we still, even with brand new water dispenser stations that we've put in most all that, we still flush them. But yeah, the City of Monroe worked hand in hand with us on that. If there were meters and questions, they were pulled out and replaced. So what we know is what's coming to their meter. We know more about what we're getting from and after their meter than we could ever see. Like Mark said, you know, to know the integrity of what's coming to them. That's, you know what I mean? That's the unforeseen. That's what we don't know. We know what's coming past them and have easy methods of testing that, else, you know, past that.
That information the city would have, I would hope?
Yeah, we did that very extensively, and we can dig back into that. I think, Mark, that HydroCore, which is a company that we deal with often when we do backflow prevention work and all that stuff. There was tons and tons and tons of documentation. That was under Jerry's lead, so I'll have to dig a little bit for that, but I'm certain that all that stuff is there. I know when I moved offices here, the testing kits and the bottles and the labels and many 4 o'clock mornings, because it had to be very stagnant for an amount of time to get that read, and that's why we were very sticklers. Listen, you got to flush, but you need to absolutely be done. Nothing can move water through these, and you know, we basically had the buildings on lockdown, so we would come at those hours, so just to make sure that we weren't getting any type of falsified readings, that we were pulling it fresh. You know, you just go hit the tap and you pour a glass of water out of a potable source, what are you getting? How does it test? Every single one of those samples went through that process. The water
so then let's look at Arborwood South again then. We're looking at that, just a thing in terms of about that domestic water, so redoing the pipes and the tunnels. What does that achieve for the school district? Is it just like a phase one? Because we still haven't touched anything going up
or yeah.
in the walls, you know, into the bathroom. We still haven't touched any of that. Is this just like a...
Well, some of the toilet rooms,
like
so it depends, but a lot of the areas have already been replaced, so all the toilet rooms were replaced.
Yep.
The piping were replaced as part of the bond work that was done there. Some of the kitchen areas have already been done. There's some small toilet rooms in some of the classrooms that are difficult to get to. You can't really, like where the tunnel, some of the tunnels end and the piping is underneath the slabs, you can't just get to them and replace those. So that would be a more extensive replacement outside of this scope. That might be where we would have to probably pipe up above a ceiling and try to get to the, you know, to the final location or use different strategies to get to the different areas. But yeah, this would be to take care of a bulk of the issues that are happening now and that we know about.
Well, when we say, not necessarily issues, but it's more about the idea that we're, due to aging buildings, that this would get us into the building, for example, Arborwood South, tunnels, and then, you said the bathrooms have already been done, so we'd have new lines all the way to the bathrooms. Then those areas that we couldn't get to, then a plan would be crafted for, like, that building, how to get to the up to a drinking fountain or into a classroom where it's not easy access.
Right.
Okay.
So you lost me a little bit more because this isn't even, are we still talking about the same thing, the domestic water piping?
I'm trying to help with that example.
Because that's 2026.
Here. Right. But
so if this is step one and it's not being done till 26, I mean, this is a way future project, it sounds like.
It's not that. I'm trying to give an example of what is going into, what it means to do a domestic water replacement. Okay, that's all it is. It doesn't matter if it's in 25 or if it's in 2030. What would it, what is it? Because it's...
It entails a lot of work and a lot of money.
Well, that's why I was pointing...
That's what I'm saying, is what you were describing, part of what is included in here in the 210. I thought when you said this the first time, that, and I'm not construction, like, I do my nails, that's about all I get, you know? And, but I thought you said that this was something that was basic, a piping in the tunnels that was easily accessible, which would be separate from what you just explained. Right.
It is, but I was trying to also clarify for what people's expectations might be. So when, you know, think about the middle school or any buildings, when we say, okay, we're going to need to do piping replacement, or the basic piping right there, is that, understand that $210,000, what that reflects is only this much. That's all it was for. That's all I was trying to do, is bring clarity on that. Okay.
I think Kim's explanation.
Just curious,
what kind of piping is it in the tunnels? Is it copper or is it cast iron or for the water? So
yeah, it's galvanized.
Galvanized.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, because you would never use black pipe for water.
You'd no, have, no, you better
never. That'd be bad.
Maybe we
what
did
how
in
do
the
you clean
the
cast iron down there?
They probably use wood in there.
Go ahead.
Are we on to the next question? I'm almost done with my question.
They do have some wood. Yeah, it's got
what is, I'm sure someone requested it, obviously is why it's in here, this 1,000 square foot, $400,000 new sensory room for Arborwood North. Like what,
yeah.
What
there wasn't a, there's not a request there, so what we have is... Remember putting in all items that we're seeing. And so at Arborwood North, they're using an area that we need to move out of that area. And so that's why Mark was referencing, is that that area cannot be used there, so we need to make a move with it. And so it's just an identifier, okay? And that was the whole thing we went through. We really identified what's going on in every single building, what needs to be addressed in each building. And so that's why it's just a healthy list of what we've uncovered. So, for example, where that multi-sensory room is at, should not be there. It needs to be moved.
Still in the gym closet?
Yep. And that's why it needs to be moved.
We were there.
Right. And so that it should be moved. And so then to make that move out, this is what that cost would be associated.
So if we're looking at what priorities are, and this is just a wish list for me, I would like Orchard School to have their parking lot done before 2026 for $173,000 more than I would want spent on the sensory. That's just mine. And that's the end of my comment.
Well, and that's why the sensory room is a level 3. So it's way down on that list.
Here,
where
it says priority 3.
Moving
on. Yep. So, all right. So if you take a look north, you can see we have asphalt work in there. And then we have listed in there the bond mass notification. We're going to spend some time on that in a few minutes. Get into the HVAC. Tim, one last question, I hope, for you. Boilers. So we have two yet to be replaced. I know North is one. Where's the other
one?
Orchard.
Yep.
So Orchard and North are the two buildings that do not have a new boiler. So the old, as they want to call them, the old pots, I think is that what the term is?
We call them CAM boilers.
CAM boilers,
the new ones,
okay.
We call standalones or hydronic boilers. Those are the two buildings that haven't had that upgrade yet.
Yep. So that just wanted to draw that out. That's also when we begin looking at, we think, okay, why was that on there as a number one? Well, that's on there simply because those two buildings, get that done, then all of our buildings are on the same same system right there. And
did we put the same boilers in all the buildings?
Similar.
No, I'm talking about the same brand.
I don't believe so. It was all bad. It was either Lac Navar, I think, or it wasn't more Lac Navar.
Most Lac Navar.
Yeah.
In high school, Lac Navar?
Not on
those are Bryant's because of the size and the sophistication of it.
Just Lac Navar don't make nothing that big, I don't think.
I don't think there's any other ones out there. It's Bryant.
So we stuck with two brands then?
Yeah.
Thanks for all your work on this.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot here. And it's a great
lot to unpack.
Yeah.
When we do those boiler upgrades, and a lot that Andy and I talked about, that's when it's the right time to upgrade, like, the energy management controls and stuff, right? There's buildings that just struggle because, like, when we do Arborwood North, we do a whole wing,
well, you know, your room three doors down to the person that's got a lot busier room or way more active room, we're kind of stuck to what, you know, we can do. So we have some control, but that's when it makes sense to add all those other details. So it goes just beyond the boilers, you know, to understand that, hey, we're all current, we got the same type, we're, you know, we're servicing them all in the same way. Larry would be able to tell you, certainly in a summer of when you used to punch boiler tubes all year long.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're just about out of that method, and now you need to be as sharp technically, you know, like digitally and computer-wise to operate these units. And that really is all just part of the move forward with the technology, that we can gain that back and better control it and make environments. We bring, every time we talk about it, we're always reminding ourselves of what this summer looks like, summer school with air conditioning. You know, so really we only turned air on and off in several buildings, and now it'll be multiple while we're full of kids and trying to ask, and that's the point. So we've kind of enhanced our employee time and did a little bit more balance and moving that way to created Mr. Campora a nice space to really be able to go in there and utilize that whole tool. We're looking for a lot of capabilities.
Energy savings, that's the big one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Half of that I had no idea what you're talking about.
You got to come to Fed
and
one.
It doesn't matter. I don't need to know.
saving operations money all every year.
Yep. I concur. Yep.
So is there a reason why the Orchard boiler isn't a level one priority, and right now it's a level two priority?
Well, they you know, they're old, but they work good. You know, so yeah. But we would like to get them all the same, you know, based on the other priorities. If they were rickety and we were having a scare, I can tell you I would have been one that pushed for that harder. But I was very much a part of the layout and you know, with the integrity of them. And, you know, we have a blessing and a 37-year operator here that really puts a lot of insight to that to us as well. And so that's where our confidence lays in there with making a recommendation, how it falls in line there.
And some of it, like, Darla, you were requesting about Orchard parking lot. One of the things that Tim knows is, like, how it's been asked, like, how long is preservation of our asphalt? And so getting as much time as we can out of them. And so is that sealing, sealing cracks and doing everything appropriately there. And so that's part of our preventative maintenance. And then when it comes to
the roofing, too, because I thought I read in here that there's roofing that is out of,
it's just out of warranty.
Out of the warranty and beyond its lifespan.
Yep.
And so I'm like,
Oftentimes, there's, I mean, with our roofs, we can go beyond the warranties and get a 5 to 10 years sometimes out of them without much issue. But when you start getting to that 5 and 10 years, that's where you're going to start having some problems. And so we can kind of target those time frames to start replacing those roofs before.
I just saw those dates and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
If I may, Andy, this is impressive. Thank you. But I'm seeing the bigger picture of $60 million of work down the road. This actually ties in and coalesces very nicely with your presentation last week, Andy, and a lot of the talk about strategic planning. And I'd like to see this actually used as a foundation for a strategic plan 10 years, where do we want to be.
And then, you know, and that's, I think about, we've talked a lot in our meetings in regards to what the community did for the district passing the $59 million bond, and I'm excited for us to get into that next part right here and how far it's already gotten us. But at the same moment in time, you still have buildings that are all built in the 60s and back to the aging pipes or this, and what do you want to do? I mean, in 4 years, we'll be celebrating Monroe Middle School's 100th birthday. And so, you know, so as we celebrate it, still you have a 100-year-old building, and we do. So I think it's part of that long-range plan of what do we do. And so with that, if there's anything on the sinking fund, know that there are some recommendations that will be coming forward to you. And some of it is trying to piece out what the next 3-4 years looks like, because some of it, too, is thinking about what things we're going to be finishing with the bond and how to dovetail in sinking fund work at the same time, so you're kind of doubling down and getting the maximum out of your money. And an easy example of why we always want to think way ahead is this. And if you looked at Arborwood North, I'm sorry, South, right there, you would see that there's approximately right around right around that $650,000-ish of asbestos abatement, right? So one of the things I saw happening in my prior school district was went in and to a building, and they took out all the floors, okay, which meant everything had to come out of the classrooms. And then never touched the ceilings, though, right? So they went and put everything back in there. And I'm going, hold on now. This is way after the fact once I got involved. And like, no, we should have gutted everything out and only done half of the building, sealing the floor, okay? New lights have been done with it, and then next piece. And so that's that long-term thinking that we have with this stuff to make sure that we aren't just going to be doing something over again in a few years.
So we don't want to work harder. We want to work smarter.
Well, we want to just be thinking. We want to be thinking way out.
What's up with the LED lighting? Is that a new requirement by the state that everything has to be LED?
Good God, no. But, man, you will save so much money on your electric bill.
Oh, I hate LED lighting.
You might hate it, but I'll tell you what.
Everybody get headaches all the time.
No.
Is all the schools are doing it? It's
not, the LEDs isn't a requirement. It saves a lot of money for the district, though.
Huge.
Payback period is oftentimes less than a year on some of that. Yeah. The requirements, though, code's requiring occupancy sensors. They want, for lighting controls and that sort of thing. Those are the things that are being required. So you shut, making sure that your lights get shut off and you're saving that energy. Yeah.
Well, Mark, I just want to thank you myself.
I've been looking for this for a long time, and this really does help us because when we make our decisions, that's going to be critical.
Yeah,
and like
so too.
Scott said, I mean, when we do our long-term planning, it's going to be critical too. So thank you for everything, and thank
yep.
all your staff.
You're welcome.
Because that's
yeah.
a lot of work.
Yeah,
they're huge.
It's
yeah.
a lot of work, yeah.
I guess I got a question more yeah. for Andy is I see some funding here for Navarre Field. What is
no,
the long-term strategy in Navarre Field?
So, well, Catholic Central is, just joking with covering up the mic. So Catholic Central is years away. I mean, they've got to raise a lot of money. So Navarre Field is this, and I'll just be blunt honest. We will do as limited investment in Navarre Field as possible, okay? For example, at some point in time, the lights out there are going to be an issue. Tim and I have already had one conversation around it. A few years ago, I think it was in 2016-ish, is when we had lights go down at Monroe High School, okay? And so, there's some old poles out there, and then you look at the lights that are on those poles, and I'm going, all right, we're not putting money into this because it's just, there's no return. We can run middle school games and get those in, sometimes right before dark, other options. So it's on there only as information, and that's all it was. It's part of our property, but that's what we wanted to provide you was just the information of what it is. But you're going to see very low priority on Navarre.
Do we get, I'm assuming we get some type of rent from Catholic Central?
We do. I couldn't tell you, though, how much.
I was wondering if it even covers some of the maintenance.
I'm going to guess it covers the cutting of the field.
What about First Downers? Don't they use it as well?
So First Downers, they'll use that field. They'll use the high school field. And so it's part of our youth football program in the community. And it's part of it. And just like we do, we're already lining the field every week anyways for our middle school program. So it's part of it for them to choose on Saturdays.
We rent to Red Storm there.
Red Storm.
Yep.
It didn't used to be the Timberwolves, but we rent to Red Storm and we rent to Central, and neither one of them pay that much.
No.
Maybe we need
to renew their. I think it's a goodwill thing. It's there, the facility's there and it's not being used, so that you get something, and it kind of is a goodwill thing to their community. But I can assure you, by the time we fertilize grass fields and we line them and stripe them and cut them and we keep. Bleacher safe and the boiler on that, it's like Andy said, I am 100% behind him in the theory that if it was making us income in a different way, you could prioritize that higher. But that's everybody was just at the same, just don't have things happening there.
I got a question for you, Tim. What about the tennis courts over by Arborwood?
We're ever gonna peel those things out or? Is there?
There's.
Okay.
Yeah, there's information in there, but that's gonna be part of a bigger conversation. No.
No, it's just it makes that whole side of town look like it's.
Yep.
It definitely made the list. I couldn't tell you from here where it was, but it was definitely brought up.
Because Jerry Oli had talked about it one time, pulling them out.
It'd be cheaper to rebuild them than it would be, you know what I mean, than to try to build off of what's there. I can assure everybody of that. You know, at the high school, we have a standing thing every year. We bring the same, this gentleman's gonna be doing some crack fill quoting for us and stuff, but you know, he comes in, it's an automatic. He's gonna have so much lineal of the tennis courts that are there. You know, they move, they shift, they're asphalt, they're 19. Mark can probably tell me more. I don't know if those are 74, 75, or when those came to that, but you know, we do what we can every year to maintain and keep them safe. So he fills them, we level them, he lines them again and blends them back in, and but you know, we're hanging nets as we speak, literally, because it's starting to turn to spring. But tennis courts are tough, you know, especially ones again where they're not being used all the time.
That's a lucrative.
Start from scratch.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys keeping everybody safe and this whole list.
Yeah,
a lot of work, a lot of work.
So we appreciate that greatly. So the next item, I'm going to try and get it up on the screen, but you also have in front of you two documents. And the first one that you're going to see is what has been spent in each bid package. So, for example, bid pack one, who the quote went to and how much was spent. And then the key is looking over that right column at the remaining balance, okay? So that's already been paid out, and you go right on down the list, and we'll do our best to answer all those questions. So Dave Warner is going to assist on this one right here, but you can see all the way down through what it all looks like. And when we get through these pages, then all of a sudden you go to that page two, and you're like, all right, I'm looking at bid pack four, I'm seeing balances remain. Well, bid pack four was last summer. Well, there's still things that they have to wrap up, and so if you actually do the math, you're going to see a lot of those equal a 10% contingency on that, and that's why that's being held back. And then bid pack five, you see this 5A, which was the stuff that we purchased last year to get for the summer, and then you'll see all of bid pack five, which is everything that you approved already, and so we're trying to account for everything. So when we go through and we see it that there's $8.8 million still remaining out there to be paid out, all right? And then you get to what would be the last page, and make sure I don't miss anything here. Yeah, page four here is just dives into further the cost right there. And so when Cassie rolled all this together, you're going to see approximately $8.5 million that would be remaining, okay? Now, having wonderful conversations with Mr. Warner here is that we're pulling out, when we start to talk to you about what we're looking at doing next, we're pulling the interest off there because that's something that's going to come in, but it's one of those items that we're going to hold back right there and making sure that we are conservative. And so that's what we're going to really look at is what are we looking at for our bid pack six, and then which will be next summer 25, and then what's remaining monies from there to going to finish anything in the summer of 26. So, Dave, I just kind of wanted to explain this one, and then we'll get to the last page, which is the different items. So,
okay. So, part of bond laws, you have to spend 80% in 3 years once you release the series. The series was released last year. We will hit 80% next year. So when you talked about setting interest aside, we're not looking at interest right now. That's something you have to spend that before you go for the next bond. So that could actually sit in an account for 10 years. And because it can be spent on bond eligible things across any building that was calling the bond app. So we looked at all the remaining work, Mark and I, and then I talked with Cassie and Andrew. And based where we're at is we're going to budget around $6 million for scope next year. And you're going to say, why is that? We have $8 million. Well, I have to get through the largest summer. This is the largest summer the high school will have. It's equal in labor hours to the first summer. And the first summer was crazy. So we have a ton of big mechanical equipment. I mean, we're going to have cranes out there all summer. You're going to see a crane up almost the summer. cleaning stuff up into those big air handler units upstairs. So we have a lot of, I guess, opportunity to incur costs. So I want to be conservative with money. I don't want to come back here to this body and say, by the way, we don't have enough money to finish. So we're assuming around $6 million of project scope, which we've kind of laid out. I escalated across the, so from the time we passed the bond, our escalation is almost up 40%. So we have figured on around a 2.5 to 3% escalation on average. We hit 40%.
There may be a lot of people here that understand this way more than
you're good. You can ask as many questions as you want. That's why I'm here.
So in 2020, $6 million is for new projects. The $8 million is remaining of old projects.
This is remaining balance in the bond app.
Okay.
So there's pieces of the bond app that deal with just with construction, that deal with our fees, that deal with his fees, that deal with asbestos abatement, that deal with IT. You know, just there's lines. So when we started the bond, I only have three lines in there. It's new construction, it's site work, four, and remodeling. So now we're at the end of the bond, right? We're talking about the last year. So that's why Cassie went back. That's why we all sat down and said, okay, what do we have left?
Is that the one that was approved in 22?
20 was, well, there's that bond was two series. I think 22 is when you sold the next series.
So the first one was bid package 1 and 2, it's in 21.
Well, I'm not. I guess the bid packages based on are on years or when we did we yeah. were I'm talking about there the bond was sold in series. So
okay.
Out of the $59 million I think you got I don't remember all the numbers off, but there was like let's say $30 million in series one for the first three years, then series two was about $20 million, let's say, in the last year. So I can only spend the series when it's available.
Right.
So now we're into series two, which is I don't remember those numbers off the top of my head. I wish I remembered that all that stuff
okay.
still. But we've also seen escalation after we passed this bond. We've seen escalation hit over 40% above from 2020 till next year, and we're assuming next year's escalation or 24's escalation at I'll tell you what it is. We're assuming 9% this year, and we've been seeing it. So that's what we for 2024 we assume 9% escalation, and then 25 would be even more. It's just the market, unfortunately. You know we've
so
come in. It's the market conditions based on labor availability, raw materials. I mean, we've seen.
So now
this is all historical. I made my.
Now I understand
yep.
what you're talking about.
So, like, I went back and dug through all the escalation that we've seen, and I asked my estimating group.
Escalation
and costs.
You originally thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Now.
Okay.
Yep.
So I asked my estimators, what did we see from 2020 till 2024, till this year? So they went back and looked at the general area of Detroit, Monroe, you know, kind of this general area, and that's what they came up with. So,
9%.
No, 30, almost 40% across from 2020 till today. So those, and remember, when we put that bond app, we put together a budget before we start estimating. That's the way the state of Michigan's law works: is you budget and then we go design. So it's kind of backwards in every other world except for in the state of Michigan school work. So. So back to the priority list, I think is in your board packet. It's around, was it? It's about 6.3. So I use round numbers when I come up with these numbers. So I said $6 million. We have a 3% bid contingency, which is 240,000 round numbers. So that takes me up to 6.2. Then I'm going to throw a $936,000 contingency line item on the work. Because it's in so many different schools, and Mark and I talked about briefly, we've seen it about 10 to 12, so I'm setting aside 15% there just to be safe, because that's the way I am. I'm now at 7.1. And then $215,000 for building permits, toilets, dumpsters, I think it's a 7.3, and I still have yet to talk about asbestos abatement, testing for concrete or anything like that we need for state requirements, moving or cleaning. So that's why we believe that's why our professional opinion about 6.3 is where we want to be at, with some with the ability to if it comes in a little bit higher in bid day we don't have to sit there and peel everything back. Does that make sense? I don't want to get to bid
Absolutely.
Day and be at $9 million say oh by the way not to rip out $1 million of scope out of bid work or delay it a year.
Yep.
So, I intend to leave a little money left over and get through most of this bond even with a 40% increase, so. With a little help from sinking fund previously, in years before, but in theory we're gonna get to the end, pretty much. which I can't say that for every district that I service. So we've been very smart with money.
Dave, what sort of things are we going to have to pull out and what we anticipated originally when, even before the bonds were sold?
That list I don't have it's easily in front of me, I guess.
So if you kind of go to your last page, this will help you. And the very last page.
The color-coded page.
Yep.
Very last page.
Dave, I've got it behind you.
Okay.
Or up here in the corner, yeah. So you can use your eyes, okay?
Oh, yeah, go.
There we go. So when we really look at it, these were the projects that were left to be addressed, okay, by the bond. And you'll see that mass notification has zero. And it has words done there. Because when we begin to really think about mass notification at this point in time, the buildings, but this building, Fenmore, and Canabush, have the PA system. We have the technology to create mass notification. Plus, the state of Michigan has provided us the ability through funding mechanism for student safety, where that can come from there. So the idea is, how do we preserve bond dollars knowing we already have the tech? To what scale do we want to go? So we pulled that out of that item right there. So when we begin to look at it, look at Manor. You look at Manor going, okay, that fire alarm, all right, they're going to get a new fire alarm, secured entry. In the past, at Manor, they had original budget of $387,000. Dave said, okay, do the escalation. We're looking at $537,000. Manor has a problem. And we start to look at Custer and the work that was done there. We look at Arbor and the work that was done there. Manor's problem is when we begin to look at their facility, they fight for space over there they don't have a conference room. They don't have other things. So we start to think about, okay, not only a secured vestibule, but what would make Manor stronger, okay? And they have a beautiful piece of green grass between the two parking lots to allow for a small addition with the secured vestibule, like what we see at a Custer and or an Arborwood. So that's why you see that $500,000 added to the side. Now that's something as a group in here, you may say, no, we don't want to do that. But that's where, think about how you plan for that future is Manor, we put in these other buildings, Manor would deserves and should have something like that. Feel free to hop in wherever, okay? Mm-hmm. Then we get down to the toilet rooms, and so we have specific rooms over at Manor that have to be remodeled, and that has $138,000. Raisinville has their fire alarm that needs to be addressed. Now, Raisinville, and we're just going to go by building, if we skip down to Raisinville, secure entry had $456,000 put in there. Raisinville is another building, though, that needs work. Now, Raisinville's good problem is, though, we can't go out too far because we have a beautiful drive already there. So what we began to talk about was looking at when you walk into Raisinville on the left side, that one entrance, okay, is literally from that entrance down, where the whole hallway is at, where the Scott's office, principal's office, down to the other hallway is all gutted, and that hallway and all that gets reused for your offices, for your conference room, for your nurse's office, all that kind of stuff. So that whole area gets redone, and you also have a secured entry at that very same spot. So again, you're coming into the office from the outside. And that would make it so that then all of your elementaries would have that secured, that new look and an area right there. Manor and Raisinville, again, what we try to talk about is we don't want to put good money over bad, so we don't want to go and just do this and then come back and go, well, you know, we should have, and so we look at that there. Waterloo, and I'm going to try to pull up for you on the big screen. So Waterloo, as we get down to Waterloo has a fire alarm. You can see that number there. Secured entry. And so the secured entry, you can see that's where the ramp is currently at, where the parking lot was at. So that was already pre-designed in. We haven't been at Waterloo. So if you, this is like in the middle-ish of the building there. Yep. And so you go through, and then the offices would be all located right there. Okay.
This is where you come up that ramp.
Where you come up the ramp, yep, right from there, that small parking lot. Yep, which would make that the main entrance, because right now, when you park, you have to walk up a long stretch to get into the water of the building, and then, honestly, with that one, too, that, you, it's like, you go in, you can get lost very quickly into the building because of the way the office is set up. So this was one that was already pre-designed this way and thought out.
Andy, just one more note.
Yep.
With the fire alarm pieces, to have the new fire alarm panels in there ties back to the mass notification. So the fire alarm panel acts as part of that, where if you hit the lockdown button, you can actually send a node to, so like the way, like, I'll say East Lansing, because I just built their five elementaries. The way that theirs works is, you hit the button, first responders are coming no matter what.
Yep.
I mean, theirs is, hit the button, camera feeds go to the East Lansing Fire or Police Department and Fire Department, and they roll trucks, they don't even ask. Yep. So.
Not yet, but it has that capability.
And it will be with the addition of
And realize mass notification is a very broad statement. I say that because I deal with it every day. Well, but mass notification is a broad statement because what's the mass notification? Is it just to get police and fire there, or is it to convey other messages? I've seen people go and spend millions of dollars on things, and people spend very little, and it's the same outcome. You know, at the end of the day, you want police and fire to roll, and you want the kids safe, and you want to figure it out. And you want to figure it out once it's done. I mean, that's really, I hate to say that, but most safety, get them in place, like get them there. I mean, that's what happened in Oxford, and we service that group too. Yep. So.
Yep. And the other thing on the secure on that mass communication is this. And you already took a step a few years ago by putting the night locks in each building, mm-hmm. for each door right there. So that's there. That's why when we really start thinking about it and the technology we already have, there's a lot of other systems you could go to and spend a bank of money, but we already have a lot of the pieces in place. Now it's just pulling them all together.
There's lock systems.
They do.
I was locked in a room with them.
Yep, they do.
And we're seeing more and more grants come out for safety and security versus buildings. So, you know, we're looking at it like spend money on the buildings and let the grants take care of the safety and security sometimes too.
When you mentioned that, that was my thought. This is all coming from the state. None of this is being coming through the federal.
All state.
It's all state money.
Yep. This is all state. There's nothing federal. Money tree in the backyard. So you can see on the for Waterloo. Toilet remodel, so we'll have all remodeling done. Orchard will have a secured entry. We'll be presenting ideas on how to do that entry right there for that building. We'll sit down with James. We'll talk out what that one could look like. They do. So if you think about Orchard's already in a beautiful location because all we actually have to do is, and Mark, we've talked about this a little bit, is you come in, you got a vestibule. Okay, but then the next thing is we can go for right when you come through the doors after that, just put up another wall that forces everybody into the office. Yep. So that's why this one is an easy fix. It's the same reason why if you go down, pop down to the middle school, when it says secured entry, you're going to see zero there because we've already figured out how to make middle school a secured, and it's actually, I would almost argue, it's probably the most secure building in our district. Because you have to have a badge to get from the office out into the main hallway where all the kids are, even if you're in the office. So it's actually, that one was well done. So that's why we look at it going, how can we incorporate what we already have?
I will say that the middle school will be the most expensive school to work on in this district, too. I actually ran, just so you guys all understand, I actually ran numbers for Julie Everly before she retired about what it would cost to AC that building. It was $23 million.
I was at one of the meetings when they were talking about it. This is Julie Gubb. It was right before she left. Mm-hmm. She was still addressing it.
Yeah.
We were like, huh?
Well, and unfortunately, if you look around any district, most people don't have those four, three-story concrete buildings anymore because they're so hard to work on. Yeah. There are a few out there. Like Adrian has one. I worked on that one. Grand Rapids Fountain School is still around. They're so expensive. Yes. I mean, I will tell you the delta between... An old remodel elementary between a new remodel versus a new, because I did one remodel in East Lansing and five new, it was about $4 million difference for a full remodel versus just a ground up. They own the property and we build them right on top. We just start demoing and building, but.
They start getting into the pipes.
There's all new pipes there. Everything's new.
Yeah.
But that's the $100 million bond too, though, as example.
But you're still sitting, and that's the thing, you start thinking about how you go and do a full remodel, you still have components, unless you can literally say we went from ground up inside everything, and it's all brand new. And that's the thing. But again, this district's done a great job with this bond. Mm-hmm. So the other part, so we get down to Orchard Secure Entry, the Raisinville Secure Entry. I've already showed you that thought pattern. Toilet rooms at Raisinville. The other one that came up was, this was pushed, put out there before, and this is at the high school, and these pictures are up here. So one of the things I was showing at the high school was a true new entrance and whole, and I think some of you guys may have seen this before. And so I'm going to kind of just scroll down. Hopefully I can get it right there. Oh, I started too far down. Sorry. My bad.
Was this when you were designing part of the commons as well, or there was two separate things?
That's separate.
Yeah. So you would see right here, this would be the new high school main entrance right here. Kids in the morning would still go in this door, set of doors, but then after the day gets up and running, this is where everyone would be entering right here. You then, and this is just another view a little closer in. Again, drawing in closer. So now you get to see what it looks like right here. I want to make sure I get my note.
You designed this?
Yes.
Marked it there. So then we get down, now I'm just pulling it down to the floor layout. So this is what you would see is the layout right here of it. So you walk in the main door, the vestibule, all right, and this is, again, heading out into that main hallway. If you're looking at trying to figure out where we're at, this was the main entrance. This would be Steve's current office right here. So if you're trying to figure out, okay, where are we at in the high school? Right there, that's Steve's office. So then you would see, okay, different offices that were thought about being put into this area there. As we've talked before, that comes into the tune of $1.4 million.
Right. And it's escalated again, too. So that numbers are those numbers are old.
1.4.
Yeah, it's probably more like 1.8, 1.9, just off the top of my head right now.
So I'm thinking that's off the table.
Give
me the number again. I've heard three numbers.
1.4 to 1.8.
Okay.
Yeah. No, 1.4, 1.8. So, yeah. So then you kind of, then we slide down the list right here. You'll see all that mass notification is gone. Middle school, the PA system is already being worked on. The fire alarm is in there. So that number, though, is one that could fluctuate a little bit, but you're not talking, again, it may be a couple hundred, $300,000 of flux there, but it's when you start to look at it. You add all of that up, you're looking at $5.8 million, even top over because you put on those $500,000 others. So it really comes down to as far as we starting to really drill in on these were the projects left. What we're working with Wendy on is these documents right here, just so you can see it. These were the ones that went to the community. So what will happen is I'll work with Clark and Kohler and Wendy, and we're going to go right through here and talk about when it was done, all right? And so and if it was a bond, because some of these things are also done with the ESSER funds. Some of these things were done with sinking fund money. So that way everyone can see what was done and what was not done there. So questions?
Dave, is there any way, I know I get stuck on things, but is there any way you could put a total expenditure of the entire PA mass notification system that we've currently spent, whether it's by building in aggregate or the total, because, man, those numbers have got to be huge. And maybe they're not as big as they seem to be in my mind when I'm listening to all this, but...
It'll be kind of hard because BitPack 2 will be easy because that was solely PA system. Middle school solely PA system, but BitPack 3, the electrician Romanoff did electrical work and did the PA system. So the high school in Custer would be hard to pull.
Wasn't it red letter that whole thing?
Just the middle school.
That was only for the middle school.
Yep. So Romanoff did Custer 1, and they did the high school, and AMCOM did all the remaining small buildings.
Because when I'm thinking, like, doing a $1.4 million addition, you know, for the school at the high school, and I think about the amount of money that was spent, and something you had said is you look at some people that have spent massive amounts of money on something, and they, you know, someone else could have spent a small amount. So I'm like, you know, what did we?
Yep. So if you actually go to your first page in that packet right there, just to help out, and BidPack 2, it says ACOM Telecommunications paid out was about $575,000 roughly right there.
And realize that's the PAs.
That's the PAs.
Not mass notification.
We put in PAs in all the buildings, and we've went through and done fire alarm, which are two major pieces to mass notification. One is you can tell the school what's going on. One is you can call out.
And then you do the red letter stuff.
No. Just at the middle school.
Okay. Just the PA system.
I know you said that three times, but it just now registered again, so thank you.
But this number right here reflects the PAs, correct? And at which buildings? I'm trying to give you an idea of how much cost.
So that would be your Arborwood North and South, Custer 2, Riverside, Manor, Raisinville, Waterloo.
And Custer 1?
Nope, Custer 1 and that's high right. school was done BidPack 3
okay.
with Romanoff.
So that would be like
yeah, so you get an idea of that and all those elementaries, how much was spent there.
You're probably looking at a couple million dollars towards the PA like system.
PAs and fires, yeah.
$26,000, is that what that means?
Yes.
We can give you a per square foot number if you need to, just based on what we see. Okay. That's a pretty one, easy one to extrapolate. And just kind of we can plot buildings out if you need to, but it's a pretty good square foot number job.
Yep. So when we looking at that the project list, what will be this is the time right here when you start to think about the scope of work between all of our buildings, which is that very last page, and think about, okay, we have next summer, and then that following, there's gonna be monies left over. So we begin to think about, okay, could that go to those, for example, those two CAM boilers? Where is it, you know, what things were left that were talked about on these documents right here to the community, okay? And so that's kind of where we're looking at. When we look at the numbers that, when Cassie's looking at it right now, at this very moment, approximately $8.5 million. Now, again, that's if the interest rates hold and anything else holds right there. But when you get back down, like Dave was talking about, you have those contingency things and everything else. So this is a big summer. This summer's, this summer's work at the high school, it's a monster. And, They have a fair amount of contingency already built into that, but as you all know, as soon as we dive in, we don't know. What will happen, though, is they're going to go ahead and start planning, and then we'll continually see where BidPack 5 rolls in, and then come August is when the next time we'll come back to you and say, okay, these were the projects, because at that point in time, we already know that we want to stay with an early bid, and that's trying to pull that off. I think this last year was right around that October-ish, right there. So trying to get in there ahead of time for next summer's work, okay? Very much knowing, too, as we start to lay out these remaining projects and how much money we have and think about sinking fund is which ones do we hit next year? And then thinking about escalated costs, which ones do you push or not to finish that summer of 26? So that's really what this is coming down to.
I have another note that I made on these on the bond funds. I didn't do pre-notes on those, but as we're going through the sinking fund and I'm hearing on the bond fund, there's a lot of toilet room upgrades and whatnot. Is that going to take into account the Elliott Larson legislation? Because I think if we're going to be looking at that, and I know Scott could a little more than me, that's really kind of a big deal. But he could if he wanted to. But it's a big deal, and if we're doing all of this.
I think the state plumbing code does not, I think if we're talking about the same thing, state plumbing code makes me label bathrooms when they have multiple toilets in them. I cannot leave if that's what we're talking about.
Say it again.
The state plumbing code, I have to put a men's label on one and a women's label on the other if there are multiple toilets and multiple sinks in it. If it's a single hole sink, if it's single hole, it can be a unisex bathroom. But right now, state plumbing code does not allow me to do anything of it. You can do whatever.
Right.
I can't pass code without having those signs up. Okay. I can't even get the building occupied.
So
Elliott Larson is taking those exact things, and they're not doing it from a plumbing standpoint. They're doing it from a alternative standpoint, which may impact some of these things you're wanting to do. So it's just a...
We can only base things on code we have today, you know, on code we have today versus tomorrow.
And maybe the Elliott Larson will impact the plumbing code at some point. So everybody can comply with
it. I think we're going to, you need to have an example, because Dave and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. I said, perfect. Monroe High School, not a problem. Each of those bathrooms you guys all toured, cut it in half, wall it, boom. So that way, every side, and it's just a locked door kids can go into. And what was your quote back to me?
How many fixtures are you going to lose, and what's your plumbing count going to be?
And then you're back to square footage, number of people. And so even if you did that, you're still going to have to then go add more bathrooms, because you're going to be required to have so many. And so you look at the project for this summer at Monroe High School, and that's why we have intentionally put into the area by the auditorium, where there is, I mean, we have two gang bathrooms, but we then also have a whole other bathroom that's individual. Okay, so to...
Yeah, I mean, I had a school district ask me, how much does it cost to convert all bathrooms to single whole bathrooms? And there is not enough, their whole bond wouldn't cover it, as an example. So I would let that shake out in the courts the way it's supposed to, and I'm sure that the state will come down and change the plumbing code or not. I mean, I guess I leave the legal or the lawyers to deal with that.
Yep, we have to vote on what we have today.
Yep.
So the last item that you need to be fully aware of is the state of Michigan is in its second phase of a facility evaluation of all schools in the state. And so last fall, schools had to elect to get in, so we did. And then we had to put all the information about our buildings, all this stuff. So the next phase is Tim gets to spend a few days wandering around all the buildings with the company that will come in and do the evaluation. All this information goes to the state. What they do with it, we'll see. If they, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it there. I think they're going to find that the number is extremely huge, you know. And where we go is this. Quite a few years ago, there was a huge push for the state to start to look at how do they deal with school infrastructure, okay? And they looked down below the border, and they saw what Ohio did. Well, Ohio took the Durant money, which is the tobacco money, put that in there along with then the local bill districts always having to pass a bond. I think it was an 80-20 match that had to happen, so the state kicked in 80%, and then the district had to kick in the remaining 20. Here, we'll see. Do you know anything on what you're seeing out there from Plant Moran and what they're trying to do or what you're hearing on this whole program?
I've heard the same things. I think there's a big conversation about districts up north that can't pass bonds, that can't, you know, this can't. I mean, I'm working in Flint right now as an example. They have $350 million worth of needs. We went and did their facility assessment.
Yep.
I'm spending $40 million of ESSER funds and not even touching the surface. I'm going to put three other schools back together out of 11. As an example. So there's funding needs across the entire state. I think they're trying to figure out how to change how they fund, but I don't know how that, I guess once again, I'd love to see that shake out and see how that works.
Well, because it's multifaceted.
All the districts that have passed. So.
That's where for one mill for us is $2 million. You go over into Hillsdale County, one mill might generate $100,000.
Yep.
And that's, I know a mill down at in Erie Mason was like $500,000, and or 250. Actually, it might have been like 250, 300,000. It was, it's small, and so it's 250,000 at that time. So it's climbed a little bit, but so I'm sharing that with you because as we listen to what's happening at the state from the state there, it's just one of those things that we put into our that big ball of stuff to go. Okay, what is it? How's it going to impact Monroe Public? As we just watched that play out there. And so, and yes, at the end of the day, some of these projects are going to move up the list a whole lot faster. It might be sitting there currently as a lower one, and it's more because of Alphabet, but it comes up quicker and or date-wise. You know, it's all about looking at all the projects and where things are happening, what we can do. So, any questions on what you see tonight? Wonderful.
Just one question.
To be a prognosticator now. Does your company have any thoughts on the inflation rates or the rate of increase for next year?
We've been talking about that actually. We're seeing we're probably seeing 5 to 6% right now. Just until we see what the next bidding cycle gives us, right? We go in major bidding cycles. I will tell you that the labor market is stressed. I mean, I will say that from, I have gotten one bid on jobs, I should have gotten five. You know, they're just really good jobs, and, you know, and I can't do it. I don't have enough people. I hear it all the time. It's just, I mean, if anyone's a kid looking for a career job, they're out there. Yeah. They're coming out of high school. All the trade unions are screaming for them.
So it sounds like it's coming down from the 9 to the...
Yeah, it just depends if something happens, right? If something weird in the world happens, our stuff goes up. Well, I mean, the one year we couldn't get roof steel because Amazon bought it all. Right now I can't get transformers because Tesla and everybody that's making an electric car bought it all. All plywood goes up triple. You know that. I mean, that's the things that we deal with in our world, right? Hurricane hits in Florida, plywood goes from $10 up to $30, and then you went to bid day with $10 sheet for plywood for 500 sheets, let's say, and now they're up $30 bucks a sheet, and you still have to buy the job.
But one of never comes down.
as example, one of the dirt work contractors bid one of my jobs last summer. He called me up 3 days after he signed the contract. Yeah, all my trucking rates went up $40 an hour. He's like, I can't do anything about it. I said, I'm sorry. But he's like, he literally is like, I'm losing my butt on trucking now. He's like, it's not your fault, but I just want to tell you what happened. So, I mean, that's the risks a lot of these contractors are going into these jobs with, the mineral plumbings of the world and stuff like that, is it's their risk. You know, if they can't get bodies in Monroe Public, they're working the hours to get there. Because at the end of the day, school starts every year at the same time.
Yep.
So...
But don't these conglomerates play a part in it, like buy boards? And, you know, I'm not a fan of buy boards and those kind of organizations that are in it. You know, don't they play a big part in what happens in your market?
I think it's all, like we watched, like steel, example. I mean, I can get steel in 6 weeks. I can get steel roof deck in 6 to 12 weeks. It was a year for 2 years, a year. I mean, we were changing how we were designing buildings because they said, we want it all. We don't care what the price is. When General Motors or Tesla or something like that goes and says, I want it all, I don't care what the price is. We bought property up in Lansing for Delta Township. It was $39,000 an acre is what they paid. Mm-hmm. Just so no one said no. So as an example, they have the deep pockets to do things like that. But when they want it, they want it. So yeah. I don't know who else is causing it, but it just causes me problems every day. I lose sleep and I have a lot more gray hairs now.
So I appreciate you guys asking that question because one of the factors that we also look at and that Dave has coached and Marcus coached us up on is can we do anything off schedule, which means September through June and that schedule. Because right now we put everything from June to August, okay, June to September right there, that quick 3 months and we pack it all in. I mean, just the sheer number of hours that Monroe Plumbing had to budget to get the high school done this summer, right?
30,000 trade hours. They're going to be in that school this summer.
I think I remember that conversation when we were out.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So we start looking at some of these remaining projects and we look at the cost, going, okay, well, which ones can we maybe look at moving it into an off schedule so that way we can just drill that down a couple hundred thousand or whatever that number is. So as if you're hearing people going, why aren't they getting that done? Now, there's a lot of factors going to play. And what we're doing, though, is we're coaching up all of our principals and other in the buildings about this stuff, too, so they understand, so they're not wondering. They're intricately a part of all these conversations there. So, but with that said, I appreciate Dave, Mark,
well, thank you, Dave.
Tim. Truly appreciate you guys being with us tonight. And
thank you.
All right.
And this really is
not a single matter.
Is that all you got?
That's all I have.
All right, this concludes our
Thanks
agenda.
Again.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Support. All in favor? Support. This meeting is adjourned at 7:14 p.m.
So for those of you who are willing, Wednesday night we have...